Page 608, we're on Pasuk Vav. Pasuk 6, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines from the top of the page. Okay, last week we discussed this whole concept of bris, the whole concept of the birth, the boy, the girl, the tumah, the tara, why it's double, and so on and so forth. So we learned like this. When a woman gives birth, if it's a boy, she's impure for 7 days. And then there's another 33 days that she's not impure, but she's not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. And if it's a girl, it's 2 weeks of impurity. Then she goes to the mikveh, and then she can still not go into the Beis HaMikdash for 66 days. At the end of this period, at the end of this either 30-day period or 80-day period, I mean 40 or 80 rather, so then it says like this, when she finishes the days of purity, the ben or labas, for a son or a daughter. Now, in order for her to go into the Beis HaMikdash, she needs to bring a sacrifice. So it says like this, Tavi keves ban shnasi la'ila, she has to bring a sheep in its first year, within its first year of life, as a burnt offering. Uben yena iser lechatos, and a young dove or a turtle dove for a sin offering. Rashi brings down from the Gemara that even though the order in the Pasuk is Ola then Chatos, the reality is first she brought the Chatos and then the Ola. First she brought the sin offering and then she brought, and we mentioned last week that the purpose of the sin offering is because she usually makes a vow when she's about to give birth that she's not going to have any more kids. And therefore, because she swore, so to speak, falsely, therefore she has to bring another korban to as a sin offering that she is not going to do it again. Okay, then it says like this. Imleisim sayado deisa. What happens if she cannot afford a sheep? V'lochosh deiseirin ay shnei b'nei yena. She brings the two birds. Echad le'elav, echad le'chatos. One for a burnt offering, one for a sin offering. And the kain should atone for her, and she will become pure. What does it mean, pure? That she's allowed to go back into the temple. Okay? To the husband, she was permissible after a week or 2 weeks. This is biblical law, not what goes on today. But in order for her to go into the Beis HaMikdash, into the temple, she needed the 40 days or the 80 days. Then she brought the korban. That allowed her to go back into the Beis HaMikdash. That allowed her to eat truma, to eat all the sacrifices and everything else. The commentators explain that what is this expression, v'chiper aleha kain? Kain forgives her. Like we said, she really didn't do such a big sin. All she did was give birth. And she had so much pain, she swore she's not going to have another baby. But what is this kapara? The Mefarshim explain, and generally speaking, we know in Hebrew, the word for forgiveness is kapara. But Dalter Rebbe, whose yartzei this happens to be tonight, Chavdal Tevis, Dalter Rebbe explains in Tanya that the word v'chiper actually comes from the word cleansing, cleaning. And they quote psukim, bring down psukim, that the word kiper actually also means the concept of cleansing. The concept of forgiveness for any sin whatsoever is actually a cleansing process. A person does an aveda, they sin, the impurity sticks to them. It's spiritual impurity, that if you want to be technical, could be called spiritual filth. But it's impurity, it's not filth. This impurity stays with the person. The concept of forgiveness, normally when you repent, you do tshuva, so what happens, you actually clean off this dirt, the spiritual impurity that you accumulated upon yourself at the time you sinned. We learned in the past, David HaMelech says in Tillim, "V'chatasi negdi samid," that my sin is always opposite me, which implies that there's an entity of a sin, and that sin is there. Okay, so Chassidus explains, what does it mean that there's an entity of a sin that exists, and therefore when you do tshuva, you undo that entity that exists, right? That's what you do, you get rid of the sin. Now, so it's explained as follows. Everything that exists, every entity has a body and a soul. Right? And even a stone, Kabbalah says, has a life in it. There's a soul even in a stone. Okay? So even a sin, the entity of a sin, is composed of body and soul. Now there's two parts of every sin. Like for instance, somebody's going to eat not kosher food, right? Or they're going to speak something they shouldn't be speaking. So there's two parts of the sin. Number one, you enjoy what you're eating. If you didn't enjoy it, you're not going to eat it. You're not going to sin if you don't enjoy it, right? So number one, you enjoy what you do, or you enjoy speaking Lashon Hara, whatever it may be, right? So when you sin, there's the enjoyment of the sin that actually creates the soul of the sin, the life of the sin. And then you have the act of sin that creates the body of the sin. So every sin is composed of two parts. When you eat non-kosher food, you enjoy it, and you eat it. So the enjoyment creates the soul of the sin. The eating creates the body of the sin. So now you have an entity called the sin that's smacking you in the face, so to speak. In order to get rid of it, you need to clean off the sin. So therefore, in tshuva, there's two parts of tshuva. There's regret, charata, and there is verbal confession. That's what the Rambam says, is actually the two parts of sin. Aziva sachat means regret, and then you have the concept of verbal articulation, verbal confession. When you regret what you did, that undoes the soul of the sin. The enjoyment created the soul of the sin. Now you regret, that removes the soul of the sin. Then the Gemara says, Akima svasav hava maisa. Verbal articulation is considered an action. So when you verbally articulate confession, that verbal saying is an action that removes the body of the soul, of the sin. So therefore the whole concept of tshuva is to remove the entity of the sin that you created with body and soul. When it says here in the Torah, when the person brings a sin offering, any sin offering, the Torah says the expression, v'chiper olav ha-kayin, the kayin will forgive. But what is actually the forgiveness? So Chassidus explains, kapara means cleansing. By cleansing the sin, you don't have it anymore. What?
I wanted to ask about then, for if you say there's two parts, normally there's two parts, the enjoyment and the act.
Right.
But what about in situations like during the Holocaust when people were forced to do things that were, are those real averas or they're not?
The real aveira is that the Torah allows you to eat it. To save a life, you're allowed to eat treif.
Okay.
So now, there's a halacha question. Is the food treif and you're allowed to eat it anyway? Or does the food become kosher? When the Torah says, to save a life, you're allowed to eat treif. Right? Does that mean it remains treif, but the Torah says you can eat it? Or does it actually become kosher to hold what's called tchuya or hutra? Okay? In the halachic, in the Gemara realm. What's the difference? What's the difference? You're allowed to do it. What's the difference? Do you need to do tshuva for what you did anyway? If the Torah says it's kosher, then you never ate treif. If the Torah says it remains treif, but I'm saying to save a life you can eat treif, the bottom line is you ate treif. So do you need to repent? Do you need tshuva? At least in a spiritual sense. Obviously you didn't do an aveda because Hashem said you can eat it. You even make a bracha on it, by the way. But the question is, did you eat something which is forbidden in your system? Do you have poison? Or don't you have poison? That's the question. But over there, the Torah, you don't really need to do tshuva to such an extent because the Torah says you're allowed to eat it. Now you're allowed to, you have to eat it. In fact, in technical halacha, there's a whole question. What happens if a person says, you know, the Torah says I have to eat it, but I don't want to. Am I allowed to or not? And the person doesn't eat it, and he dies because of it. Is that suicide? Or is he a holy roller? It's an interesting discussion about that in halacha. Bottom line is, it's not suicide. What?
It says that you need to bring two doves or turtle doves,
mm-hmm.
and one for sin offering, and then she
That's if she can reach it, afford it.
I'm sorry. That's what.
Then she can right.
And then it says the end v'tahira, and then she's pure.
Correct.
When she brings it, she's unpure. Or?
No. Until she brings it, she cannot go into the Beis HaMikdash. This v'tahira is not for the husband.
Where does she bring it? No, until she brings it. Where does she brings it in a Beis HaMikdash.
Right. This allows her now, on this day when she's allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash, she brings a carbon that allows her to eat the kachem, eat karbonis and everything.
In a way, she's going to Beis HaMikdash.
It's simultaneous with this. Okay, let's start the next psukim, which I need to give a basic introduction to the concept of leprosy. Now the Torah is going into the next parsha and a half, or more, really two parshias, all about tzaras, leprosy. In English, it's defined as leprosy. It has nothing at all to do with the medical term of leprosy. This is the, as the Rambam writes, that this is a complete, illogical, unnatural phenomenon that happens. The Rambam says like this. Hashem, in His infinite kindness, gives us warnings. He likes to warn us when we do something wrong. The Hebrew word for tzaras, I mean the one that has tzaras, is called mitzera. Mitzera means a leper. But mitzera is two words. Motzira brings out bad. One of the fundamental reasons why leprosy, Torah leprosy, not the medical, it's not, like I said, nothing to do with the medical leprosy. Why Torah leprosy comes upon a person is because they spoke Lashon Hara. They spoke evil, they spoke slander, they brought out bad. Therefore, what did they accomplish? When you speak slander about somebody, when you speak Motzi Shem Ra, you speak Lashon Hara about somebody, you cause people not to like the person. You cause a separation between people. You cause a hatred between people. Therefore, the punishment for leprosy is that you have to be maybe become excommunicated outside of the camp until the leprosy is over. Okay? That is the fundamental concept of leprosy. So the Rambam writes, at the end of Hilchos Tzaras, the Rambam writes like this. In the parasha we're going to learn, there's three types of leprosy. There's body leprosy, clothing leprosy, and house leprosy. So the Rambam says like this. When you do bad, you're speaking evil. Hashem first put leprosy into the house as a warning. It doesn't work. Hashem brings it onto the clothing. It still doesn't work. Hashem brings it onto your body. These are the three stages of leprosy. First, even though the order in Torah is different, Torah first speaks about the person, then the clothing, then the houses. But the Rambam writes, the way it works is first it comes into the houses, then it, and we're going to learn all the details, that the leprosy in the house is really a blessing, it's not a curse, whatever, we're going to see as we move along. So first, Hashem warns us with the houses, then He puts it on the clothing, and then He puts it onto the body. If a person repents, it might only go in the house, not in the clothing. You know, whatever. If you don't repent at all, it ends up going on the entire person. We're going to soon see in the next, in this part, I just want to, let's just start the bottom line of 608. Okay? Hashem spoke to Moshe and said like this. Adam, a man, or woman, by the way, these are various different colors of leprosy, and you have to bring it to the Kohen. The Alter Rebbe in Lakuta Teira asks a very interesting question. In Hebrew, the word for person, for man, there's four expressions of man. There's Ish, Isha, Isha. There's Enesh, there's Gever, and there's Adam. Okay? There's Adam, Ish, Enesh, and Gever, going from the highest to the lowest. Therefore, the highest category, it says, in a person is Adam. Last week or 2 weeks, I remember when it was, when we were learning about the beginning of the Parsha, why Adam was created last. Okay, we said, Adam, are you too close today?
I know, what should I do?
Can't
move back anymore. That's it.
Okay. Adam comes to the word Adame, similar to God. Right? Adam refers to Adam, not only the person, but Adam Elyon. Adam is the highest name that the Torah gives to a person. Most of the time in Chumash, it's called Isha Isha, man or woman. Okay? Adam is the highest. So the question is, Alter Rebbe asks, why does it say Adam ki yiya be'er besari? If it's the highest level of a Jew, why is he called Adam having leprosy? If leprosy is for sinning and speaking Lashon Hara and causing separation between people, so why does the Torah use the word Adam? The Torah should use the word Gever, Enish, Ish, but not Adam, not the highest level of a person. And then we find an even more strange Gemara. There's a whole story in the Gemara, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, don't ask me how, he met Eliyahu HaNavi. And he said, can you tell me who Mashiach is? It's a famous Gemara in Sanhedrin. Very famous Gemara. Yeshua ben Levi meets Eliyahu HaNavi in the street. And he says, I want to know who Mashiach is in this generation. So, Eliyahu HaNavi says to him, good question. Go to the outskirts of Rome. And you'll see there, Skid Row of Italy, of Rome, full of beggars. And all those beggars have leprosy. And you'll notice, this is what Eliyahu HaNavi said to Rabbi Shimon Levi. You'll notice that all the beggars are that have leprosy all over their hand are smearing like cream on the whole hand, bandaging it, and then, you know, changing the bandages, whatever. But you'll see all of them do the whole hand at one time. You'll see one beggar that does part at a time. He does a little cream, bandages it. Next cream, bandages it. He doesn't do the whole arm at one time. He said to him, that is Mashiach. That guy, you want to know who Mashiach is? That's him. So Rabbi Shimon Levi goes to Rome, the Gemara says, and he sees exactly like Eliyahu HaNavi said. Everybody is smearing the whole hand, and this guy is doing it one at a time. So he comes to Mashiach. So Mashiach says to him, Shalom Aleichem ben Levi. He said, Ben Levoy, he said, Shalom Aleichem. So Rabbi Shimon Levi says to him, hey, when are you coming? You know, he says, Hayayim, coming today. Shimon Levi gets all excited, gets the first plane back to Israel, and he gets excited, puts on his Shabbos clothes, and goes to the mikvahs, get ready, Mashiach's coming today. Mashiach didn't show up, as we all know. So the next time he met Rabbi Shimon Levi in the street, he says, hey, he said to me, he's coming today. So he said, what Mashiach meant is, what the Pasuk says, Hayayim im bekeilis ishmo. I'm coming Hayayim today, if you listen to my voice. I mean, if you do what you're supposed to do, I'll come today. That's the story in the Gemara. You know what's remarkable? Mashiach over there is called a leper. Right? He says, he calls him Metzeda, I don't remember the exact lesson, but he calls him Metzeda, he calls him a leper. Now, if leprosy is such a terrible thing, that the Gemara says it's so excommunicated, nor the sin do you become excommunicated. The only sin in the Torah you become excommunicated for is for leprosy. Which means it's the worst sin that the Torah says, you know what? You are outcast from the Bnei Yisrael. So the question is, why does the Torah use the word Adam, which is the highest level? Why is Mashiach called Metzeda? Okay, so the Alter Rebbe explains that.
And why?
Yeah, why?
Do you want to hear it?
No.
No.
Do you want to say it?
Well.
But I don't want to hear it.
Highest apple goes the lowest.
Okay, so it says that the concept of tzaras it refers to such a holy, holy, holy person that the only thing wrong with him is artificial, superficial skin disease. Spiritual disease, not the physical disease. That means the concept of Adam, because, let me go back a second. The Mephoshim all ask, all the Mephoshim, they all ask, I'm learning, everybody asks a question. If Tzaraas comes for leprosy, you know that the whole world should be one big leprosy? I mean, be realistic. Today you have telephones. In the olden times, they didn't have telephones. It was much harder to speak Lashon Hara. You're limited in your community. Today you can speak around the world Lashon Hara. Right? It's expanded Lashon Hara. So the question is, and the Mefarshim Chumash has it. I mean, everybody asks the question. So how come today there's no Sarah? Everybody should be full of leprosy. Who doesn't speak Lashon Hara today? The only people that don't speak Lashon Hara, people that can't, not able to speak. But everybody else somehow manages to speak Lashon Hara. So again, the answer is that the Nega of Tzoras, and that's why it only existed in Eretz Yisrael, and it doesn't exist today, and only existed in those days, and Mashiach is called Tzorat Metzera, because Tzoras is really a person who is completely perfect, internal and external. The only thing that could become affected is the most external, outside level of the person. Only the skin is missing. But everything else in the person is perfect, in and out. And therefore, they're so holy that the only thing that could become affected by them is the outside, the external level of skin, which is the lowest level, so to speak, in the person, is the skin. It's not the organs, it's not the bones, it's not the flesh. It's the covering, the protection of the skin, of the body. So therefore, he says, that's why the Torah speaks about Adam. But as we're going to learn the Psukim, Tzoras is white. Right? White is a sign of purity. White is purity. It's such a lofty level. Remember we learned about Lavan, Levin Ha'elyin, and all these things. It's such a high level that when it comes down low, it comes but only into the skin. And therefore, what's the expression? Nega Tzoras. The plague of Tzoras. Nega, Nun, Gimel, Ayin, is the same letters as the word Oneg. Enjoyment. Because Nega and Oneg are interconnected. Oneg, pleasure, is the highest level. It's higher than intellect, higher than emotions. It's the essence of the person, is the pleasure. That is connected to Nega, which is leprosy. So the person's purpose, so to speak, is to transform the Nega into Einig, but it comes from a very, very lofty place. And that's why the Torah uses the word Adam, and that's why the Torah uses the concept of only in Eretz Yisrael, and so on and so forth. Now, the Al-Sheikh answers a different answer, why Tzoras doesn't exist today. Like we say, if it's for Lashon Hara, we should all be. What?
Were they guilty of Lashon
Hara? Who?
The people
that had it, yeah.
It's the same, they were so perfect that they weren't.
Correct. In other words, Tzoras in the source is extremely high level, but the higher the thing, the lower it falls.
Potential,
it was extremely great.
Thank you.
So something happened to Mashiach? Did that happen?
No, that was, it says, for the sins of the people, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya. Okay, the Mashiach didn't have that himself. But it was because of the generation that had that external sin. But the concept of it is that only lofty people are able to get this external concept. Now, in the concept of Metzera, which like we said before means Motzira, simply means they speak bad. They take out bad, they bring out the bad of a person. But if you look at it in a different way, Metzira can also mean you bring out, you get rid of your own evil. You take out the evil also. Not only, see, in a negative way, it means you bring out, you speak bad about people. Which, by the way, we learned this already once before, I know, or maybe probably more than once. The Gemara says in Erchin, a very strange Gemara. The Gemara says, Lashon Hara kills three people. Talker, listener, the one they're talking about. Okay? Talker, listener, one they're talking about. So the question is, talker, I understand. Listener, I understand. No listener, no talker.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Why the person are we talking about?
Right? No listener, no talker. You can't talk to yourself in an empty room of a Lashon Hara. I mean, it's not fun just to talk to yourself, Lashon Hara, about everybody else. You need a listener. But Nebuch, the poor guy they're talking about, why is he to blame for two people decided to speak about him? So Rabbeinu Yain and the Gemara in Erchin explains the following. Many people have bad qualities, but they're hidden, they're buried. When you speak, speech, like many, many times, in reference to Hashem, in reference to Chumash and everything, speech is a revealing of something concealed. What speech? Before I say it, you don't know it. Now I say it, you know it. So what is? I didn't do anything new. What I thought, I said. So what I thought, you don't know. Now you know. So what does speech do? Speech actually is a revelation of something which is hidden. You reveal it. When two people speak Lashon Hara about a third person, they now revealed into the world that person's evil that up to now was concealed. I mean, even within himself, the evil was not revealed, it was hidden, it was buried. Now the two people, by speaking about it, brought it out into the world. You know, it's very interesting, it's done with thought and speech and definitely action. Do you know that many times, two people at opposite ends of the world that don't know of each other will invent something at the same time? Will invent something at the same time. We learned in the past, there's a famous story at the Beis Yosef, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch. He once had a question in learning, and he worked on the question for weeks, until he finally came up with the answer. You know, Mamish worked diligently on his question that he had, and he came up with an answer after many weeks. One day, he was in another shul, went to a shul, whatever, and he heard people were learning. Okay? And he was listening to what they were learning. Somebody asked his question, and on the spot, somebody answered his answer. On the spot. He knew who he was, and he knew who those people were. He was much greater than them, and he was shocked. He said, me, I had to work on it for weeks, knowing who he was, his neshama and his brain, and how great he was. He knew who he was, okay? He had to work weeks, and this guy, a simple Jew, not as great as him in any way whatsoever, on the spot answered the question. So the Beis Yosef, don't ask me how this worked also, he had an angel, a malach, that used to learn with him. He had a malach that used to learn with him. So he was very bothered by it. So he asked the malach, how could this be? I'm the holy one. He knew. The guy is not Gaiva. He knew who he was. I had to work on this guy on the spot. So the malach told him as follows. There's different aspects of Torah, as we know, different parts of Torah revealed in different times. Okay? Every aspect of Torah starts in heaven, and then people, through their diligent learning, bring it down to earth. He said, this aspect in Torah that you questioned was stuck up there. Okay? And they needed a person of your caliber, through your diligence, to bring it down into the world. That was your doing. He said, once it's in the world, anybody can pick it up. Once you revealed that concept in the world, then anybody was able to get it. So don't be upset. Your greatness brought it into the world. Once it's here, everybody has it already. The evil of a person is most of the time concealed or buried. What does Lashon Hara do? Lashon Hara actually reveals, when I talk to you about them, that person's evil, which was buried, hidden, concealed, now because we revealed it into the atmosphere, so to speak, that causes that evil in the person to be revealed, and that can hurt him. And that can hurt the person.
So what you're saying is that person never really did, let's say the person never really did what they're speaking about, once you open that up by verbalizing it, that the potential for that person to have done it then becomes more of a reality or more likely?
It becomes more likely for them to do, but Lashon Hara, you see, is when you speak truth. There's Lashon Hara when you speak bad about somebody, but it's true. If you speak bad about somebody and it's not true, that's called Motzi Shemra.
Oh.
Which is all part of leprosy. Mm-hmm. But Lashon Hara is when you speak bad about somebody, but it's true. You're not lying. The Taka did it. Motzi Shemra is when you create a Baba Maisa that's not true and you say somebody did it.
But if you don't say anything, you get sick. You do.
Say that again.
You have to say something if people hurt you. Yeah. And if they did something true.
One minute. If somebody hurts you and you ask them why you did it, that's not Lashon Hara.
No. If you're talking like to a third person, let's say this person hurt you and you needed to talk about it to a person that you trust.
And 1 second. If you're talking about it,
whoever.
If you're talking about it to a therapist,
right.
For therapy.
I'm not talking about therapist. I didn't say therapist. I said a person.
It takes one to know.
The therapist is, okay? I know it's not Lashon Hara. But a friend that you happen to see, you're just coming out from a very difficult situation, and you see that friend.
Why are you telling it to them?
Because you trust that friend.
To do what?
To release something.
And to help you. Then it's not Lashon Hara. Then it's not Lashon Hara.
Okay, that's
maybe you have 10 friends like that.
But you can't. But you can't go and release it to 20 people just because it's.
Yeah, you can't put it on what do you call it, Facebook?
Yeah.
Facebook and say, okay, 1 million people now know about it. Whoever can help me, please help me.
Okay.
No, that's Lashon Hara.
I agree.
Okay, but if you're speaking. I mean, I don't want to learn, first of all, I'm not into the dinim Lashon Hara too much, because if I learn the dinim, then it's even worse when I speak.
Exactly.
Ignorance is bliss, I never learned about it, I don't even know about that, I could speak as much as I want.
Me neither.
Okay. But the din is, let's say you know somebody cheats in business. Somebody's not honest. Okay? And somebody asks you, they're thinking of going into business with them. Or they're thinking of lending somebody money when you know the guy never pays back. Okay? Halacha says you have to tell them that the person's dishonest. Otherwise, you're going to be hurting the other person. When it comes to a shidduch, you know, whatever it may be. Over there, the law of Lashon Hara doesn't apply. But again, it depends. If you're doing it to talk because it's enjoyable, then it's Lashon Hara. Otherwise, halachically, it's not Lashon Hara.
It's about your intention when you speak about
it. Yeah, that's between you and God, and God knows what the real intention is.
Exactly.
Rabbi?
Yeah?
So, Motzi Shemra, you're saying that would only hurt the person saying it because it's the other person...
No, in a certain respect, it's even worse, because now you're creating an evil within them that they don't even have.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't exist.
Wow.
But it works. It works in reverse also. Remember, we told the story that the Tzemach Tzedek was once in the middle of Yechidus. People were coming, private audiences, to see him. And all of a sudden, in the middle, the Tzemach Tzedek stopped Yechidus, closed, went back, went into his room, locked the door, and said, I don't want to see anybody else tonight. And there was a whole line of Chassidim waiting. So, you know, it was getting out of hand. So one of the Tzemach Tzedek's kids knocked on the father's door. They're all great people. They knocked on the father's door. And the Tzemach Tzedek opened the door. And the son sees the way the Tzemach Tzedek is saying to him, and his eyes are red and he's crying. So he says, you know, Ta, whatever you call him, Abba, Ta, whatever, you know. He says, excuse me, sir, there's a lot of people waiting to see you. Now is not the time to cry and say to him, you know, there's a line of people, you have a job to do, please go do it. So the Tzemach Tzedek said to him like this, in order for a Rebbe to be able to help out somebody's problem, they need to find the problem within themselves, mm-hmm. to connect to the person who has the problem in a very refined way, not as coarse as the person's sin, but at least in an extremely refined way. They need to be able to find the fault within themselves. Then they become connected. And when you're connected, you can help the person. If you're disconnected, you can't help a person. In order to help somebody, you need to connect. So the tzaddik, the Rebbe says, needs to find this level of evil in an extremely, extremely refined form to be able to connect. He said, somebody came into me tonight with such a terrible situation. As much as I looked at myself, I couldn't find it. And he says, but what's my problem? He said, the fact that the person told me his issue means that I have it. And if I can't find it, that means there's a level of evil within me that I'm unaware of. That means there's a level of evil we find, granted, with, because the fact that the person told it to me means I have it. If not, Hashem wouldn't have made that the person came to tell me. So I have that level of evil. But the problem is, I'm unaware of it, meaning I have a level of evil within me that I'm unaware of. So he said, I can't meet any more people. I need first to find it. So his son said to him, okay, sounds very good. Close it till him and go look at the people. So he stopped, he started the Yechidus again, and more people went in. But there's a level of evil that you bring out in the person. Okay, any therapist will tell you, Freud says, you dig, 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 you'll find mud. Chassidus says, the Baal Shem Tov says, you dig, 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 you'll find diamonds. No, you find diamonds. But you could bring out in a person, even by just talking, on the other end of the world, you can talk about a certain person, that will bring out into the world, into the atmosphere, because now it's out in the open, a level of evil that the person doesn't necessarily have. And now you're bringing it out. And therefore, they can also get hurt. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Yehuda explains that Lashon Hara kills three. The talker, the listener, and the guy they're talking about. Now, one more. What?
What about when you hear something in the news, you hear about a public figure? Is that Lashon Hara when you speak about it?
Gemara says, if everybody knows about it, three people know about it, the Gemara says, then it's not Lashon Hara. Because once three people know about it, everybody knows about it. Unless if your intent is to make it more spread. In other words, something which is in the newspaper, really halachically, is not Lashon Hara because everybody knows about it. Unless if you're talking to somebody that doesn't know what a newspaper looks like, and then you tell it to them, yeah, then it's Lashon Hara.
When you say three people, you're talking about three people other than the individual themselves?
Mm-hmm. Because Maris assumes, like we know, once three people know about it, the whole world knows about it. In today's world, there are no secrets. I mean, we know that. That's why we don't. By the way, that's why there's no tzaras today. That's why we don't have tzaras. One more interesting point that's explained, and the Rebbe explains this also. The whole concept of leprosy, as we'll learn in the next Yipsukim, is completely up to the Kohen. You have to bring it to the Kohen. The Kohen looks at it and says, impure. The Kohen looks at it and says, pure. Or the Kohen, if it's a doubtful situation, the Torah says, he locks it up. The Kohen has to be the one that pronounces yes, no, pure, impure, whatever. So the Gemara says, what happens if the Kohen is an ignorant Jew? Believe it or not, there are a few Kohenim that are ignorant. They don't know the halachas, the complicated halachas of leprosy. You know, what is it? What color? What shape? What is it? So what happens if a Kohen doesn't know the halacha? So the Gemara says, and Halacha says, he calls in a scholar, the Kohen calls in a scholar, and says, hey, Rabbi, what's the story? Yes or no? The Rabbi looks, tells the Halachic ruling, but that's worthless. He has to tell the Kohen the ruling, and the Kohen has to rule. And the Gemara says, even if the guy that has leprosy is a scholar, and he knows the halacha, and he knows it if it is or isn't, he is not allowed to rule for himself. You need a kohen to rule yes or no. So the question is, why? If you know it is. If you're not, it's not. I mean, what's the difference? It's either pure or impure. It's either kosher or treif, The scholar has to tell the kohen what to say, and the kohen has to make the ruling. Huva allowed in a kain, or one of his children. So the Rebbe explains like this. To excommunicate a Jew, you need to be a Jew lover. Who has the right and the authority to excommunicate a Jew by saying you're a leper? Only a person like Adon HaKohen, Ayev Shalem, Reidev Shalem, Ayev Sabrius. Kohen was called Isha Chesed. Aaron, like it says, he loved people, ran after peace, tried to make peace amongst people, loved everybody. That Jew has a right to pronounce a sentence if a Jew is excommunicated or not. No other person, not even a scholar, has a right to say if you're excommunicated or not. It has to be somebody who is a Jew lover, i.e. the Kohen. And he's the only one that has the right to pronounce it. He doesn't know the halacha. He'll get the halacha from the scholar. But the pronunciation, if somebody is or not, only a Kohen has a right to do that. Because if you don't love Jews, you have no right to give a reckoning on a Jew.
Could you die from a tzaraat?
No.
Because in later time, they did die from a tzaraat.
That's leprosy, physical leprosy. This is not medical leprosy, I said. Yeah, for a change.
Oh.
But
does this still exist now?
No. No, it says in Allah it doesn't exist today. Only when the Jews were in Eretz Yisrael, and you know, like we said, when the Jews were on a lofty level, not nowadays. Okay, so now let's see this inside. Ve'davar Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron le'emar Adam, like we said, the reason why it says Adam, ki yiyah be'er b'sarif will have on the skin of his flesh, se'eis e'sepachas e'veheres. These are translated in English, Se'es and Sepachas, these are various different colors, I'll explain them in a second. B'er b'sari will be in the flesh of his skin, the nega tzeras, the nega of leprosy. V'huva l'aron ha'kohen, you have to bring him to Aaron ha'kohen, v'yalachem ibanav ha'kohenim to one of his children ha'kohenim. Now, the Gemara says, like for instance, Se'es is the color of natural wool. But the Gemara says, it's a natural wool of a sheep a day old. Meaning pure white wool. Before it gets dirty, you know, in the mud and all that. A newborn sheep, the wool of a newborn sheep. Beheres is the color of white snow. Okay? Sepachas is, like, for instance, sepachas is slightly darker than a se'es. It's the color of an egg membrane. It's also white, but a little darker. And the other one, sepachas, is the color of chalk. Okay?
So it's all white, different...
It's all white, different shades of white. All four are impure, okay? But there has to be a certain size, we'll see, you know. But it has to. But these are the colors what makes leprosy on the skin. So it's actually a white coloring. Again, it's not a physical thing. It's physical, but it's not an illness. In other words, you don't go to a dermatologist for this tzaraat. It's not going to help. The dermatologist is the kohen. No other dermatologist is going to be able to help you. Now, the size of tzaraas is the size of a gris, which is a large bean. Here he says it's 3/4 inch square. In nowadays, the size of a gris is like the size of a dime. Okay? Size of a dime. A little bit less than a dime, according to some poskim. Now, the Gemara says, how large is the space that 6 hairs by 6 hairs can grow? In other words, the area of 36 square hairs. That's what it is, 6 hairs by 6 hairs. Which I told you is like 3/4 inch or like the size of a dime. Well, whatever. Take a diamond, you see. The size of a dime, that's the size, the minimal size of leprosy. Now, only the Kohen could, like you said before, and he says, like, but tzaraas is not detectable by touch. You can't touch it to feel it. It doesn't feel like anything. It feels like the regular skin. The only thing that differentiates saras is the color. Nothing else. It doesn't. It's not like a scab. It's not like a growth. It's the skin level, but it's just a change of colors. Okay, so what happens? The Kohen will take a look at it, at this nega on the skin. The hair on the affliction area turns white. And the affliction, this is an optical illusion, looks deeper than the rest of the skin. Nega tzarasu is considered leprosy. The Kohen sees it and makes him right away impure. Meaning, if the Kohen takes a look at this, and the hair turned white, okay, and the color, like it says, when you have the sun shining on the shade, the sunlight looks deeper than the shade, it's just an illusion. So if a Kohen sees these criteria in the qualifications in the leprosy, then right away the Kohen says it's a leper. He's tummy. Right away.
But Kohen doesn't get leprosy.
Kohen could also get it. Mm-hmm. Kohen could also get leprosy.
Kohen refused to make it away?
No.
He has, once he knows it, he has to tell him?
Oh, we're going to learn later that certain times, and this is one of the proofs they bring, that this has nothing to do with fit. I'll give you an example. Later on we'll learn what happens if there's leprosy in the house. So the whole house becomes tamei, right? So the pasuk says, if you have leprosy in the house, you come to the Kohen and say, hey, Kohen, you have to come, you obviously can't bring the house to the Kohen, right? The Kohen got to go to the house. So you tell it to the Kohen, hey, it looks like I got leprosy in the house. The Kohen says, first, empty out the house. Everything out of the house. Exterminating. You know, everything out of the house. After everything's out of the house, the Kohen comes and rules, tamei or not. Okay? So the question is, if it's tamei, why? So the Gemara says, why? Hashem says, listen, I'm a nice guy, Hashem says. I don't want to make everything in the house tamei. So take everything out, because until the Kohen says tamei, it's not tamei. Right? Who are you fooling over here? If the Kohen comes and says tamei, why? That means an hour ago was tamei. Nothing changed. The Torah says, no, this is not normal. This is not normal stuff. The Kohen says tamei, that's when it becomes tamei. Okay? Now, the Gemara is going to say, Rashi brings this down. Sometimes, you don't hear. What happens, somebody comes during Yom Tov. Hey, you got this tzaras. They come to the Kohen. The Kohen says, come back to me after Yom Tov. I don't want to rule on Yom Tov. Come back after Yom Tov. Or, like it says, a guy gets married, the chassan of the kallah get leprosy. The night of the wedding or whatever. The Kohen says, you know what? When you finish Sheva Brachas, 7 days, then you come back to me, we'll talk about it. And until then, there is no leprosy. The question, what do you mean there's no leprosy? This is leprosy. A week from now, the Kohen's going to say, you got it. Yeah? This is not normal, so to speak. This is not the normal concept. Until the Kohen says tamei, it's not tamei. The Kohen says tamei, then it becomes tamei. So can a Kohen say, I don't want to rule? No, that he can't. If the Kohen doesn't know the halacha, he calls in the scholar, gives him the ruling between the two of them, and then the Kohen goes out and rules. But the Kohen has to rule if it's leprosy or not.
Does Kohen get tamei after he rules?
No. No. That's only by the red heifer, by the paraduma. That's the only time the guy that purifies becomes impure.
How about that? What's the worst where they pronounce people
dead? Yeah. God forbid if somebody dies in a shul. It happens a lot of times. Somebody dies in the shul, so the rule is the doctors don't pronounce him dead yet. you get all the kohenim out of the shul, and then the doctors come and pronounce him dead, and that's it. Because until a doctor pronounces a person dead, halachically he's alive. Because he has a chazaka, he has a pattern, a pre-existing pattern that he's alive. If you want to change the pattern, you need a ruling to change the pattern. Until now he's alive. Until he's alive, he's alive. And now you know he's dead. But until you say he's dead, he's not dead. He's alive. I mean, by the way, this is applies in a different thing also. In halacha today, and here's a question if DNA helps, if the testing helps, but, you know, sometimes, all of a sudden, a person's not, you know, neighbors see a person didn't come out of the apartment for a week, and they call the cops, and the cops come in, and they see the person dead. Right? God forbid. Yeah, you find that many times, right? The person passed away. So now the question is, when's the yard site? When did the person die? And the doctors will come and say, he died 3 days ago. But that's not necessarily according to halacha. According to halacha, until you see him dead, he's alive. So the yard site, many, are there exceptions? Probably. But in general, halacha, the halacha is, until the doctors find him dead, he's not dead. So the yard site is the day you find him. But here, you know, it's similar, but here the kohen takes everything out of the house. And that's why the whole thing is like we said, completely illogical, like the Rambam says. In fact, once he's tzaraas, he makes everything tamei, he's avatuma, and he makes everything, like he says, everything inside the building, under the shelter, he's in the oil, the tent, everything, he's a very strict level of impurity because of what he did. Okay, now, that is if the kohen sees it. In Pasuk Dalet it says, v'mbaheres levoni hi be'er besorei. What happens if he sees this baheres, which is another shade of white, right? But ba'amek ein mareh minhar, but it doesn't look deeper than the skin. Usa'ara lehafach lavan, and the hair didn't turn white. So it's like, it is and it isn't. It has certain qualifications of it. It's baheres, it's white. But it doesn't look deeper than the skin, and the hair didn't turn white. So if it's white, and the skin turned, the hair turned white, and it looks deeper, it's right away impure. If not, then it's a doubt. So what does the Torah say? You lock him up for 7 days. In other words, we've got to see what happens after 7 days. The Kohen sees him on the seventh day. It stayed exactly the way it was the first time. It didn't spread out in the skin. So what happens? Dilemma. Nothing happened. It didn't get better. It didn't get worse. Another 7 days. But the Gemara says, and Rashi brings down, it wasn't 7 and 7 and 14. This is 7 and 7 equals 13. That means like this. You lock him up for 7 days. On the seventh day he looks. So he said, we're going to lock him up another 7 days. But that day is counted for the seventh of the first group and the first of the second group. Because the Gemara says the maximum you can lock somebody up is 13 days. So on the seventh day the Kohen looks. Right? If it didn't get changed at all. The Kohen says, okay, we're locking up another 7 days, but today is day one. So at the end of the... at the end of the 13th day, the Kohen is going to look again. But our Kohen, I say, b'yem ha'shvi yishenis, and the Kohen sees it again on the 13th day, b'yem ha'keya ha'nega, it got a little bit dimmed, le'fasa ha'nega ba'er, and it didn't spread, the tia ha'kohen, the Kohen purifies him because it's called mispachasi. Mispachas is a white that's not leprosy. V'chibes begadav, and he has to wash his clothing, meaning in the mikveh, v'toher, and he becomes toher. In other words, he still has to, Rashi explains like this. The Torah says, v'tiyare ha'kein, the Kohen makes him pure, right? So the question is, he was never impure. He can't make somebody pure if he's not impure. The Kohen saw him, he didn't know. He locked him up again. Okay, then the Torah says, okay, if it dimmed, then you purify him. But the question is, if he's not impure, how can you purify him? He never was a leper. So that's the thing. Rashi says that's why he has to wash the clothing anyway. In other words, he has to immerse himself, and is why? The fact, and Rashi says an interesting thing, the fact that he was quarantined on a doubtful tumor, on a doubtful leprosy, he has to go to the mikveh. He doesn't have the stringency of leprosy. He's not a leper, doesn't have tzaras. But the fact that you had to be locked up and quarantined, so to speak, that itself it shows that there's a little smoke in the air. You know what I mean?
It's a hint that he may have it.
It's a hint that, no, he doesn't have it. He's pure.
No, that he may maybe have it, like, because he has something.
It's a pretty heavy-duty warning, in other words.
Uh-huh.
Next time I won't be so lenient, Hashem said. But that's where he has to go to the mikveh. What happens? Let's see the next two psukim quickly. What happens? What happens if it did spread after the 13th day? And the Kain sees it a second time. If it did spread, then the Tima Kain, the Kain makes him Tomei. Even though the hair didn't turn, you know, but the Nega spread, Tarasi, then it is leprosy. Okay? So sometimes, you know, the guy's Tomei right away. Sometimes he's pure right away, if none of the signs are there. Okay? Sometimes the signs are in limbo, so you lock him up a week, if it doesn't change the second week, and then, bottom line is, there's a ruling. More than 13 days is either good or bad, either pure or impure. It can't be in limbo anymore. Okay?